And now, here are our movie moles, Fran Michel and Jan Hocken, to sort out the many issues of race, class, and gender raised by the film The Help. Fran.
Good morning. This is Fran Michel here with Jan Hocken to discuss The Help, the popular film based on the popular novel by Catherine Stockett. It's the second feature directed by Tate Taylor. It's set in Jackson, Mississippi in the early 1960s and follows the project of Skeeter Phelan, a recent graduate of the University of Mississippi, played by Emma Stone, who's trying to break into publishing by collecting and writing up the stories of the town's black domestic workers. Her main informants are Abilene Clark, played by Viola Davis, and Minnie Jackson, played by Octavia Spencer. The film has been very popular and has generated a good deal of controversy. The Association of Black Women Historians released an open statement on the film stating, in part, "In the end, The Help is not a story about the millions of hardworking and dignified black women who labored in white homes to support their families and communities. Rather, it is the coming-of-age story of a white protagonist who uses myths about the lives of black women to make sense of her own. The Association of Black Women Historians finds it unacceptable for either this book or this film to strip black women's lives of historical accuracy for the sake of entertainment." And they note that there are many things that are left out, including the problems of sexual harassment and much of the story of civil rights activism among domestic workers and others in the black community.
Well, you could say that that's what films do, is they strip experience of history at all, or certainly sacrifice historical accuracy in telling an entertaining story. And there's much to be said about what the choices are and the sacrifices of the film. And I think the level of controversy and upset of the film does raise the question that parallels the story itself. What are the rights of filmmakers in covering traumatic history? And what are the obligations in covering this history? Because, of course, there's a lot of sacrifice. It's not a documentary about the civil rights movement. It's a domestic drama. But much like the girl in the story who uses the stories of maids to advance her own career, does a filmmaker mimic this same problem?
And arguably, she does. There's actually some reason to think it might even be worse in the case of the filmmaker situation, since within the film and book, I guess, Skeeter, once she publishes the book, she divides the advance that she gets among the women who have been her informants. And at least within the black community, they are recognized as the real authors of the book, although she's the one who gets the job offer and gets to move to New York with it. But there was actually a woman named Abilene Cooper who sued or wanted to sue Catherine Stockett for $75,000 for using her likeness in the book in what she found was an offensive way. But the case was thrown out because she'd missed the legal window for filing a claim. So Catherine Stockett is apparently not sharing the wealth from her book with any of the resources that or any of the groups or individuals who might benefit from a more positive, more complex, more politically engaged version of history.
I thought, though, this was one of something in the film's credit, and the criticism is a bit harsh on that point, that it does raise the issue of authorship. And it's quite clear these are women who are articulate and have stories to tell but cannot publish them under their own name. And it raises the question of authorship. And in this community, these women are recognized as the true authors of the story. And of course, the white woman advances in a career that the black women themselves remain closed off from.
But it's worth noting that there are, of course, other representations of the experience of being a black domestic worker written by women who have been black domestic workers. For instance, Alice Childress's collection, published around the same time that this book is set, Like One of the Family, which is a collection of stories about the experience of being a domestic worker. And it starts with a wonderful little story about the extent to which the narrator recognizes that she is not really like one of the family, that this is an exaggeration and a sentimentalizing of what is actually an employer-employee relation.
Another criticism is it does this perpetuate a kind of mammy stereotype of maids. And once again, I think that was a bit harsh. These women clearly did not like their jobs. And when asked by the girl whether how she felt about caring for white children, there's a long, complicated silence. And I thought it was quite, even as the minister, appeals to the congregation in the black church, you have to love your, it takes a lot to love your enemies. It's quite clear that these employers are their enemies, and the amount of, you know, there's a lot of kitchen talk, a lot of kind of resistance behind the scenes. Of course, the enemies here are white women who everyone would love to hate, and no one, I think, in the audience would identify with these caricatures of the white Southern cold woman.
Yeah, I mean the villainess is more of a stereotype, is not someone anyone is going to be in danger of identifying with. But there are points in the film where the kind of intimacy of domestic labor, and particularly around caring for children, becomes complicated and problematic. I mean, the Abilene, who has raised 16 white children in the course of her life, is very, you know, is attached to the little girl that she cares for in the beginning of the film. And we do get a sense of this affection and intimacy. And that is something that is, I think, potentially troubling to people, because it does suggest that it's possible to love the people who are ultimately going to grow up and oppress you.
Like women do come to love the men who abuse them, and the intimacy of domestic abuse and domestic oppression has always been a kind of unsettling theme. Usually in the history of Jim Crow laws and racism, it's cast around miscegenation and these paranoid, perverse laws against sexual mixing that, of course, cover over the history of sexual abuse of black women by white men, typically in the household. This is very much configured around, food, eating, a lot of digestive metaphors rather than sexual metaphors circulating here, and very much the world of women.
Yeah. I mean, among the criticisms that the film has gotten is that it omits this. It sort of lets white men off very easily. We never see them assaulting, harassing, exploiting the black women who work for them, although that is not uncommon. And there was recently a letter that came out about Rosa Parks' experience as a domestic worker and the sexual abuse that she faced. So, I mean, that is a very common feature that is neglected in this film and is papered over. We don't see that. The only abusive man in the film is the off-screen husband of one of the domestic workers, who is violent towards her when she loses her job. And there's a sort of awful little exchange of her white employer, subsequent employer, telling her she would never stand for this. And she finally gets up the courage to leave her abusive husband because this white woman cooks her a meal.
This was one
totally
of the
ridiculous,
most insulting moments of the film, her being lectured by this white woman whose life is very much itself, the kind of prostitution and selling of your sexual assets to survive under patriarchy. And then she has the gall to advise this woman on how to deal with abusive men.
But instead what we get is all of this attention to, as you say, sort of oral and digestive questions, and the anxiety about bodily waste and about dirt. There's a whole debate about one of the white women wants to propose a law that there has to be a separate bathroom in every home that has a black employee, so that they're not using the same bathroom that the white people use.
Sanitation laws and the role of women historically in administering sanitation laws. I think part of what is unsettling about the film is the intimacy, a lot of the anxiety about food and eating. There's a lot of discussion about, there's a very funny scene, but it's also disturbing, about a feces pie and the way in which the whites who are obsessed with cleanliness are also, sick with the various things. And it I think is an unsettling film on a certain level that's quite powerful, even though I think that hasn't been the focus so much of the discussion or controversy about the film.
Yeah, we can, I think, are pointing to the features here that are a little bit more challenging, a little bit more
subversive even
in moving this boundary around the question of who is diseased, who is the figure, who is the dangerous, contagious figure.
Who carries the dirt?
Yeah.
And infantile anxieties about eating things that are going to contaminate you. There's a lot of infantile logic in it, but you're saying that is doesn't redeem the film.
That does not redeem the film. I mean, it's I think it's extremely well made. The acting is wonderful. It's got a fabulous cast, and I think in some ways that only makes it more pernicious that it is as engaging as it is, lulls us into wanting to accept this story, which is deeply problematic in many, many ways. And
the gristle of Jim Crow goes down with a lot of butter here.
A lot of Crisco. Yes. Anything. Crisco is the solution for anything. Yeah. It does have
a reference to a very clever scene in the film.
Yeah, it does have some positive features, but is ultimately in its assessment of race relations does have this final feel good sort of view that it's all about telling stories, it's all about individual solutions, it's
finding
about reaching
your
out
individual voice
and reaching out to each other and understanding that we're really all the same under the skin or something like that.
Yeah. And she gets fired at the end, this black maid, and is walking down a road, liberated, emancipated from her oppressor, deciding she's gonna become a writer now. She's found her literary voice. In contrast to a film very much we're seeing, The Long Walk Home, which is about the Alabama bus boycott and maids walking together down a road and a white woman crossing the color line to join in solidarity with black women, leaving the household, and the final message being, you can't liberate yourself in the home. You have to hit the road and collectively do so. Here we have a lonely woman captured by the fantasy of finding her own voice.
Yeah, so getting fired really turns out well for her. It's really okay to just fire people without giving them any severance pay or...
But one white employer offers a black woman a lifetime job as a maid. You mustn't forget that touching scene.
Yeah, very touching scene. Clearly, there are some problems with this film. The Long Walk Home, which was made in 1990, so over 20 years ago, suggests that we have, if anything, perhaps regressed in terms of the kinds of representations that can make it into the mainstream and that can be offered to general audiences.
And Medgar Evers, the story of resistance and black solidarity and some solidarity across racial lines in the civil rights movement are, of course, left out. And there are there is that part of the story as well. But Medgar Evers' his assassination was on television. So it was very much on the periphery here.
Yeah, but the film does not connect in the deep way that it might the individual stories with the larger historical context and the context of activism and the possibility of solidarity and activism to effect change in the public sphere.
And that this intensified paranoia toward the black help was a response to resistance in the streets during that same period.
This has been Fran Michel and Jan Hocken discussing The Help, which is still playing in Portland and gives a false portrait of the early 1960s in Jackson, Mississippi.
But worth discussing in groups.
A bullet from the back of a bush took Medgar Evers' blood. A finger fired the trigger to his name. A handle hit out in the dark. A hand set the spark. Two eyes took the aim. Behind a man's brain. But he can't be blamed. He's only a pawn in their game. The South politician preaches to the poor white man. You got more than the blacks, don't complain. You're better than them, you've been born with